بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا وقعت الواقعة ليس لوقعتها كاذبة خافضة رافعة. إذا رجت الأرض رجا وبست الجبال بسا فكانت هباء منبثا. وكنتم أزواجا ثلاثة فأصحاب الميمنة ما أصحاب الميمنة وأصحاب المشأمة ما أصحاب المشأمة والسابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون في جنات النعيم. ثلة من الأولين وقليل من الآخرين على سرر موضونة متكئين عليها متقابلين. يطوف عليهم ولدان مخلدون بأكواب وأباريق وكأس من معين. لا يصدعون عنها ولا ينزفون وفاكهة مما يتخيرون ولحم طير مما يشتهون وحور عين كأمثال اللؤلؤ المكنون جزاء بما كانوا يعملون. لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا تأثيما إلا قيلا سلاما سلاما. وأصحاب اليمين ما أصحاب اليمين في سدر مخضود وطلح منضود وظل ممدود وماء مسكوب وفاكهة كثيرة لا مقطوعة ولا ممنوعة وفرش مرفوعة إنا أنشأناهن إنشاء فجعلناهن أبكارا عربا أترابا لأصحاب اليمين. ثلة من الأولين وثلة من الآخرين. وأصحاب الشمال ما أصحاب الشمال في سموم وحميم وظل من يحموم لا بارد ولا كريم. إنهم كانوا قبل ذلك مترفين وكانوا يصرون على الحنث العظيم. وكانوا يقولون أئذا متنا وكنا ترابا وعظاما أَإِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا وَعِظَامًا أَإِنَّا لَمَبْعُوثُونَ أَوَآبَاؤُنَا الْأَوَّلُونَ. قُلْ إِنَّ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ لمجموعون إلى ميقات يوم معلوم ثم إنكم أيها الضالون المكذبون لآكلون من شجر من زقوم فمالئون منها البطون فشاربون عليه من الحميم فشاربون شرب الهيم هذا نزلهم يوم الدين نحن خلقناكم فلولا تصدقون أفرأيتم ما تمنون أأنتم تخلقون
صلوا على Hello, hello. صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد
Inshallah, we're going to be starting tonight's program with the recitation of the Holy Quran by Brother Ali Ridha Baydun. If we can invite him with the loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Rahimallah man aad al-salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. ثانية على حب الإمام الحسن العسكري أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يسبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض الملك القدوس العزيز الحكيم هو الذي بعث في الأمين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين وآخرين وهو العزيز الحكيم
حكيم ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم مثل الذين حملوا التوراة ثم لم يحملوها كمثل الحمار يحمل أسفارا بئس مثل القوم الذين كذبوا بآيات الله والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين قل يا أيها الذين هادوا إن زعمتم أنكم أولياء لله من دون الناس فتمنوا الموت إن كنتم صادقين ولا يتمنونه أبدا بما قدمت أيديهم والله عليم بالظالمين قل إن الموت الذي تفرون منه فإنه ملاقيكم قل إن الموت الذي تفرون منه فإنه ملاقيكم ثم تردون إلى عالم الغيب والشهادة ثم تردون إلى عالم الغيب والشهادة فينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوا على محمد وآل محمد
Jazakallah. Inshallah, before we invite Sheikh to the member, I wanted to quickly make a few announcements. The first is that, inshallah, our next program is not going to be on Friday, but instead we'll be commemorating the birth of our Holy Prophet, Salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal farajhum. It'll be on Sunday, October 24th. Inshallah, the tentative time will be starting at 6 p.m. However, please keep in touch with our WhatsApp and social media outlets so that we can have accurate timing. Before we invite Sheikh to the member, I wanted to just kind of mention that in Sheikh's last speech, he mentioned all the help in putting on these wonderful programs for the Muharram and Arba'in, but no one had the opportunity to thank Sheikh for all his guidance and leadership. So if we could give him a loud salawat for him and his family, ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allah. With that, we'd like Sheikh with one more, invite Sheikh with one loud salawat. Allah, Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allah, Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So today or tonight we're gathered for a very, very important event, which is to commemorate the martyrdom of Imam Askari alayhi salatu wassalam. But today what we'll try to do is to make the speech just a little bit different. There's three things that I'd like to address today, actually. The first will be a little bit about current events. There's some things that we should address that are happening in the Muslim world, and we know that as believers, we cannot stand by idly when people are oppressed. We have to take a stand. Number two is a little bit of a spiritual reminder. Because of the month of Rabi, I thought it would be practical or good for us to have a little bit of a spiritual reminder. And then finally, if Allah gives tawfiq, how we can commemorate the Shahada of Imam Askari, inshallah, will be to go over some of his brief sayings, some of his pearls of wisdom. So we'll try and go over those words and sit at the feet of our Imam and learn from him, inshallah, tonight. But first, please, aloud salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The current events that I wanted to mention is that, unfortunately, for the second week in a row, our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan, they have been martyred as they prayed. We saw, maybe some of us have seen, those pictures of those who were martyred. This cowardly attack took place at the hands of takfirist, and it's the second time that it happened. For those people who became shuhada and who went to meet Allah in this way, we ask that Allah raise them with Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. We can only imagine the pain and the suffering of the families. We ask that Allah grant them sabr and ajr. And then, as you know, when there's a bomb blast, then there's a lot of people who are wounded. So those people who don't become shaheed, we ask that Allah grant them speedy recovery. But for us at the Hadi family, for those who are the perpetrators, so not only the takfirists, those wild dogs, those human wolves who murdered people who were praying, not only for them, but the hidden hands that are behind them, who train them, who arm them, who give them the weapons. We condemn them in the strongest terms, and we hope that, inshallah, Allah keep us on the side of truth and justice, inshallah. Salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The second reminder is about the month of Rabiul Awwal. So what happens is this is a month for us to kind of go back to working on our core spiritual program. So for the other Islamic months, then alhamdulillah, there are certain a'mal that we're supposed to do, dhikr that we're supposed to repeat, been heavily recommended. But then for the month of Rabi al-Awwal for us, then we don't have a lot of those extra adhkar or salah or these kind of things that we're supposed to do. What we do need to do is to go back to our core spiritual program. So as we know, no true spiritual healing, no getting to God, no proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes without proper beliefs. I talked about the idea of trying to have a correct understanding of God, our aqaid, our beliefs. That's first. But then after that, the second thing is that wajibat and muharramat. So doing all of the wajibat and then avoiding the muharramat. That has to happen. No spiritual growth will come without those. But there's some other three steps that I want to talk about. Just kind of emphasize, look at the ahadith, hear some things that we hear from the urafa about these three other kind of spiritual principles that will help our core spiritual program. What happens is, if we don't observe what is called muraqaba, or vigilance. So some people, the Urafa tell us, they're very serious when it comes to halal and haram. They're not that kind of Shia, that kind of mu'min who thinks, well, it's not important, I make salat or I don't know. No, these are people who are performing the wajibat. They pay khums, they're trying to do their responsibilities. But what happens is the Urafa say, even if we're trying to do that, without some of the spiritual steps, and I'm going to mention some of the ahadith or the ayat of the Quran about these things, this is going to be incomplete. Remember, brothers and sisters, Islam is a package. We get the results of Islam when we implement all of Islam. In order to implement all of Islam, what the Urafa tell us is, in addition to being a person who knows that I must do the wajibat, I have to also practice vigilance or muraqabah. Otherwise, what will happen? Now, there'll be important wajibat, important muharramat that I should be avoiding. But because I'm not vigilant, I'm going to end up missing them. So it's kind of like that boat. Let's say you have a boat that'll take you down the river and it'll get you to the promised land. But let's say the boat's leaky and I'm unaware of the leaks. I'll drown in that same boat. For us as believers, if I'm not practicing these other spiritual techniques that I want to mention, what happens is the framework is there, but the boat's leaky, and I'm not going to get those results that I'm supposed to get from Islam. So those other three things are very important, and I want to start with a verse of Quran that, brothers and sisters, it's good for us to kind of think about, and then actually the Arabic of it is also beautiful. This first one is from Surah 59. So the concept is muraqabah, vigilance. It's something that's expected for us as travelers of the path, as mu'minin and mu'minat, in order to get where we want to go. Is it enough to be someone who is only practicing wajib and I don't have to worry about that vigilance? Actually, I'm going to share the verse of the Quran. You're going to see that there's other instructions for us. So this is one of the verses of the Quran. Allah says this, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, mu'minin, mu'minat, ittaqullah, have taqwa. Be wary of God. Fear Him. See yourself as being in His presence. Make sure you're doing your wajibat. But what you're going to notice is that's not the only instruction over here. There's going to be another instruction. The next instruction is this. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ Every soul should see, should be vigilant about what they're sending forward for tomorrow. One of the instructions was taqwa, do the wajibat. The second was vigilance, should be careful. What they tell us is that we're supposed to be guards of our hearts, of our souls. We're trying to make sure there's no muharramat that are maybe not paying attention to. It's slipping. I'm supposed to be a good mu'min, but maybe, for instance, the idea of respecting my father or mother, maybe that's an area that I lack in. I'm doing the wajibat. But that's also very important. Maybe the area of being careful about what I say. Maybe I'm somebody who's practicing the wajibat, but I struggle when it comes to doing amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar. Maybe it's a wife, I struggle with the idea of obedience of my husband. For instance, all of us are muraqabah. So it said two things. One of them was ittaqullah wal tanzur nafsu ma qaddamat lighad. Wattaqullah, the verse continues again. After that, again, taqwa. Inna Allah khabirum bima ta'amaloon. God knows very well what you do. What Allah Ta'ala says about this verse, one of the takes that he has, is that the word nafs over here is used what they call in the mufrada sense. He says, perhaps what can be taken from this is so few people will end up doing muraqabah. The first one people got. It was part of the culture. But muraqabah was also a Quranic injunction. That's also supposed to happen. Mentioned in ahadith of Ahlul Bayt. Sometimes not taken as seriously. And then people who are not doing that because they missed that then, they aren't able to get those results. The Urafa say, even if I was a believer who took that and I said that, okay, in addition to me performing my wajibat, I've got to be vigilant, making sure there's no duty, that perhaps I'm slipping, perhaps it's a pet sin, perhaps I don't think it's important. What else should I be looking for? The Urafa say it will not be complete without another spiritual exercise. That second spiritual exercise is one that, again, all of us are supposed to be doing. The Urafa say, even if we're, I'm going to mention this later, even if I'm doing a lot of mustahabat, I might be, I'm the person, not only I do wajibat, dhikr, dua, extra salat, salatul layl, but I haven't done it the way that I was taught to do it. What was that second step that they tell us is so necessary? The second step is what they call muhasabah. I'm supposed to be taking account of myself. I'm going to mention, after I mention the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt, it's a little bit difficult. What should we be doing? What's the basic expectation? Again, for us, we're trying to do our responsibility. They tell us, this is now from Imam Kadhim. He says, so this step, how important is it in the path of the Ahlul Bayt? Let's say I don't do muhasabah, I do wajibat. Okay, remember the leaky boat. There's certain things I'm missing. What does the Imam say? Laysa minna. The person who does not do this, laysa minna, not from us, man lam yuhasib nafsa, kulla yawm. The person who doesn't take account of themselves every single day. This person is not from us, Ahlul Bayt. So we can see this is one of those spiritual wajibat. How do we do it? Where do we begin? It's something to keep in mind. The Imam says this, فَإِنْ عَمِلَ حَسَنًا. Let's say Allah gives tawfiq, and I'm able to do good deeds. There are spiritual victories. There are things that I'm doing right. The Imam says, إِسْتَزَادَ اللَّهِ. I've noticed it, and then I ask Allah to increase me. Allah guaranteed me a spiritual victory. I'm not just going through my day. I see these blessings of God, but then after that, إِسْتَزَادَ اللَّهِ. That afterwards, he asks Allah to increase him. وَأَنْ عَمِلَ سَيِّئًا. What about if there's a mistake that happens? A slip. The person says, the Imam says, استغفر الله من. He asks Allah for forgiveness from them. For this sin, وَتَابَ إِلَيْهِ. He makes tawbah. So, if this is being done properly, brothers and sisters, the Ahlul Bayt explained to us that there's going to be practical results. If it's not just me ticking the box, because sometimes what happens, somebody will have heard this, sometimes even I'm someone who to a certain extent is practicing it, but it's not kicking in yet. Those spiritual results aren't there. What are the spiritual results of doing this necessary action? This is from Amirul Mu'mineen. He tells us that there's going to be practical results. There are certain things we should be seeing and experiencing if we're really doing muhasabah, and if we're doing it right. The Imam says this, man hasaba nafsa. The person who takes account of himself, who does muhasabah, what happens? Waqafa ala uyubih. This person will discover I have flaws. If I'm doing this and I don't see that, where is an area I could advance in? Where could I improve? My life is kind of, I'm just the same. I'm doing all my wajibah, alhamdulillah. The Imam says, no, that means that I'm not doing it right, because if you're doing it right, waqafa ala uyubih. No one's Amirul Mu'mineen, no one's Sayyidah Fatima. There are uyub, there are flaws. The person was going to discover waqafa ala uyubih. What else? Wahata bidhunubih. This person will kind of have a comprehensive understanding about their sins. What am I doing wrong? What are the patterns? Why is this happening? Ahata bidhunubih. Wastaqala min adh-dhunub. The next thing that's going to happen is the person will ask, once I've discovered there are mistakes, there are sins, I'm going to start asking for forgiveness for those things. What else? Wa aslaha al-uyub. The final one is that I'll really start making efforts to repair the flaws. If muhasabah is done properly, the next step is I discover those flaws and sins, I ask Allah for forgiveness, and I start to repair them. God will show me more. There's more to grow. The mu'min or mu'mina, there's so much that we can grow in. But if I'm not doing this, then I'm not going to... They say, I may even, in these words, kind of think that everything's okay. I'm literally missing. I think I'm all right. I don't see mistakes. I'm doing all the wajibat. I really won't be growing. So if we are not discovering flaws, areas of growth, and victories, I don't see any victories, any positive, anything to thank Allah for, then I'm not doing this right. I'm fooling myself. I'm ticking the box. And this, by the way, happens. You literally have people who are interacting with others and mistreating them, but I can't even see it. But literally, the person's not doing it correctly. I don't see flaws. So, if we discover, they tell us that a couple of things. One of them is this takes a while to master. I should not think in the beginning that I've heard that, 1, 2, 3, now done. It's going to take, they tell us the nafs wants to be free. The nafs doesn't like to be corrected, doesn't like to be, it's natural that it'll take a while for me to develop this, but if I keep working, it'll become what we call a malaka. It'll become second nature, I'll naturally do this. They say in the beginning, even if we're only able to do it in a certain area of our life, we try and do it, they say, even maintain that bare minimum muhasabah, keep trying, eventually it's going to take over the other areas of my life. I'll be able to retrain my nafs. I'll start discovering flaws. I'll become a different person. I'll also see victories, areas where Allah's helping me. I won't be so down on myself. What else do they tell us? They tell us some practical advice. They say, what about if I discover that I do have flaws? Let's say there's an area that I'm working on. I'm trying to resist. I don't like this about myself. I'm pushing back. And still I keep making mistakes. This is a hadith that I'm going to tell you about. They say, don't be too harsh with ourselves. Reproach the nafs. Remind the nafs, we're not supposed to do this. But don't be so hard on myself, beat myself so much that I get demoralized. The hadith of the Ahlul Bayt is from Amirul Mu'mineen. He says that your nafs is your steed. If you're gentle with your nafs, if you bring it along, if you encourage it, if you remind it of its spiritual victories, he says you'll be able to have your nafs. So you can kind of kill your nafs, though. Make it rebel. Nothing's right. Right? So they encourage us to be gentle, to accept that even if we're able to do this generally, to keep pushing, and it will become more developed. It will take over our affairs. So it's natural, they say, that if we have a lot of social responsibilities, in Farsi, they have a word where I have a lot of ishtighalati biruni. I have a lot of things going on in my life. Right? There's one person who I'm kind of focused. I'm aware of myself, my soul, my nafs, my heart, what's going on. But there's another person, I've got a lot of things going on. There are a lot of moving parts. For that person to do muhasabah, to get to know themselves, it takes more time. But it doesn't mean we should get demoralized. We keep working because, as Ahlul Bayt said, laysa minna, the person who doesn't do this is not from us. Is that all? Actually, the Ahlul Bayt tell us that there's another step that we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be advising ourselves in the morning to take care of our responsibilities. This one hadith is from Imam Ali. He says this, Yabna Adam, O son of Adam, kun wasiya nafsik. Admonish your own soul. Be an admonisher for your own soul. So we remind our soul of its responsibilities, of its duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We talk to ourselves in the morning. We encourage ourselves. But then, God forbid, if there is some mistakes, then we don't abandon hope. What they tell us is because these things, these spiritual exercises are difficult, although they produce amazing results, what happens is people tend to go to just doing a lot of mustahabat. That's easier. To do other prayer, other dhikr, other mustahabat, but to actually go inward, to find out who I am, what I'm doing wrong, what are areas to address, what are victories, it's more difficult. They say we have to keep working, and surely we can get there. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So also today, though, it's a day of us learning and sitting at the feet of Imam Askari. Today we'd like to go over just some brief sayings. They're short sayings of the Imam, but each one of those sayings are literally pearls of wisdom. There's so much what can gain from some of these ahadith of Ahlul Bayt. We'll go over a few of these, and then of course we ask the Imam, Imam Askari, we ask him for help to attain these traits. The first one the Imam says is this. He says, لا تماري فيذهب بهاؤك. Make sure you don't joke excessively. Don't joke excessively, you'll lose your spiritual beauty. The person who jokes too much, excessively. So it doesn't mean, of course, that... So, I made a mistake. I'm going faster than the actual words of the hadith. I made a mistake. Salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. The second part of the hadith is going to be about excessive joking. We didn't get there yet. It says, la tumare. La tumare is another thing. It's talking about arguing for argument's sake. If we argue for argument's sake, right? I want to prove my point. And they tell us this is a trait that can happen to anybody. Men or women, young or old, a specialist, a non-specialist. Sometimes when I'm explaining a point, it's no longer about me trying to get the truth out there, but rather about winning the argument. What they tell us is that don't do that. The imam says, don't do that. If we do that, it'll rob us of spiritual beauty. Our job is simply to get the truth out there. But now, being aware of the soul, of the nafs, of what we're doing, it'll let us know that now in this particular argument, I'm having this conversation, I can feel some nafs creep in. When I feel the nafs creep in, the responsibility is now silence. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was this. Salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. اتركوا المراء وإن كنت محقا. Leave mira. Make sure you don't argue for argument. Even if you're right, you're absolutely right. This is 2 + 2 = 4. The person's not accepting it right now. Now the nafs is starting to creep in. Now the responsibility is silence. The urafa say, if we can do this, our souls will find peace. Being able to stop. I can feel nafs creeping in. Right? It's going to get najis because the nafs will be involved. Now, it was ibadah because sometimes it's necessary to argue, to prove my point. Sometimes it's necessary, but sometimes it's nafs now. The example they give us is the example of Amirul Mu'mineen. Remember the battle that he had with Amr bin Abdi Wud? So just imagine, we're trying to learn now from the imam. So the imam has, nobody's willing to fight this beast. He's a gladiator. The Prophet has says, all of Iman is facing now with all of Kufr. You're going out, you fight, you throw him down, and then he spit in the Imam's face, and the Imam stopped. This is a battle, there's so much talk killing him, just finish him off. But the Imam doesn't even want a little bit of nafs to get involved. So he gets up, he starts walking around, calms down. That was personal. Now, qurbatan ilallah, he kills him. They ask, why did you do that? I could feel nafs creeping in. I was upset when he, right? So that pause, or when it came to mira, that stopping myself, I'm not going to just continue to argue for argument's sake. That's no longer the point. They say, even if it's in our family, there's another example that we have from the urafa. They say, maybe I'm married to an imperfect spouse. Maybe this argument, for instance, is happening in front of other people. Let's say even my children. It shouldn't be. Or I'm speaking to my spouse and I'm right, but they're not willing to accept. This is what the Urafa say. Our children should learn from us practically that what's most important is what God wants, the truth. Not what you want, not what I want, what God wants. Sometimes that truth is not arguing, even though the person's wrong. So something for us to definitely keep in mind, that pause. Ayatollah Sa'adat Parvar, one of our urafa, he commanded some of his students to go to the battlefront. They're going to go fight to jihad. And at the same time, when he was commanding them, you have to go over and do your responsibility, he told them, he said, keep in mind that you have ikhlas even when you start to battle the enemy. You're now, you have your bayonet, you're fighting hand-to-hand combat. At this stage, the Arif said, make sure you keep, don't let Iblis come in and take away your ikhlas, and then now it's no longer for Allah, you're not even shaheed. So ikhlas till the very end, aware of the nafs possibly creeping in, making sure that we don't let that happen. Next one. The next one that the Imam tells us about is not joking excessively. وَلَا تُمَازِحْ فَيُجْتَرَوْا عَلَيْكَ. If you joke too much, if you're joking excessively, it emboldens people to behave disrespectfully towards us. Now the Urafa, they are very quick to make sure that it doesn't mean that the believer is dry. I don't joke at all. Dead serious. Right? We learn from the hadith of Ahlul Bayt, every mu'min has a sense of humor. If I'm dry, I don't joke with anybody, always dead serious, they say that's actually bad akhlaq. That's not holy, it's not muqaddas. The mu'min should have a sense of humor. But one time I'm joking inappropriately, too much, and sometimes we can tell that this is a lot of joking. What happens is they say if it gets to the stage, I don't know, are you serious now? Are you joking? If I'm joking too much, one of the effects is that people don't take us seriously, and it leads people to engaging in bad behavior with us. It's also something for us to avoid, to make sure that that doesn't happen. So now, the next one that we have from the Ahlul Bayt, from Imam Askari, is one about not wanting to be always treated differently and overly respected. Let's read the hadith. Salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Man radiya biduna sharaf min al majlis. Let's say there was a gathering. And when I come to this gathering, everybody, because they recognize me, then they'll stand up and they'll show me respect. But there's some people who, there's a gathering, I don't want to be treated differently. I don't want to be shown extra respect because of who I am, because of my accomplishments. They say that the person who's willing to go over and just sit anywhere in the majlis, this person, it says, لَمْ يَزَلِ اللَّهُ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ يُسَلُّونَ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَقُومُ. God and the malaika will continuously send salawat on this individual until he gets up from his gathering. I don't want to be special. I don't want to be treated different. I want to make sure everybody knows my achievements. I don't mind being anonymous, doing the grunt work, not getting the recognition. Example. I heard this story from Shahid Mutahari, written in one of his books, that once Imam Sajjad, so what happens was there was a group of believers, and these believers were going to Hajj. As they were going to Hajj, they stopped by Medina, and then they continued. They're going to Mecca. On the way to Mecca, they meet a man. Some of them know this guy. They start talking, this, that, and the other. Once the conversation begins to happen, they talk about one special guy in the caravan. There's this one guy in the caravan. This guy's really special. You can tell he's a person of taqwa, a man of God, face full of nur. The guy who's with them, he says, who? And they point to one individual. He said, you know who that is? He said, who is he? He said, that's Ali ibn Hussein. That's Zainul Abidin. The people, oh, astaghfirullah. They come running, trying to kiss the hand of the imam. Oh, and we're so sorry. And they also kind of complained a little bit. They said, why didn't you tell us that it was you? Maybe while you were over there, because he was serving. Because they were praising him and saying, well, you have this one special individual, but he's taking care of everybody. Anybody needs help, anybody needs camel, we'll give it to this guy. He's so eager. He volunteers. But now they felt so terrible. They're like, well, at least you could have told us. Maybe we would have said something accidentally, insulting. We've been in big trouble. The imam said this. I chose you deliberately. I wanted to go with a caravan where nobody knew me. He said, many times when I go, because people recognize me, I'm the grandson, the great-grandson of the Prophet, they start respecting because of their love of Rasulullah. He said, I don't get the opportunity to serve. So I chose you in order to be able to serve. So the idea being that we want to make sure that that is something that we do. Again, we hear about some of our urafa. Ayatollah Hassan Zadi Amoli, he passed away recently. One of the students of Ayatollah Sadat Parvar was explaining, he says that at this time, when he's talking about the event that took place in his own life, he said, I was a young student, not wearing the imamah, wearing just regular, oh. And he said, we were in a gathering with Allama Tabatabai. He said, my teacher, the spiritual teacher, said, go and just participate in it. Just look at Allama Tabatabai. Be over there. Benefit. You'll benefit spiritually just by being in his presence. So he said that naturally, as a young talibah, there's senior ulama there. He said, I'm sitting at the front entrance. I'm down the end. Where are the shoes? I'm sitting over in that area. And he said, Ayatollah Hassan Zahra Amuli entered. And he sat down next to me. He said, Ayatollah Hassan Zahra Amuli. Allama Tabatabai got up. He said that, Bismillah, come. He said, no, I'm perfectly comfortable here. I want to be here. I want to be in the end. He didn't want to be acknowledged, appreciated. So it can happen, but again, these are things that the ulama tell us, the urafa tell us. They say just hearing about these things isn't enough. Just making dua for them isn't enough. We actually have to start acting to go against the nafs, to do that jihad with the nafs, to get used to this. Because remember, the hadith was that the person who's pleased, radhiya, and rather being radhi is even higher than being sabir. That I'm pleased with just having any place, not being recognized, not being special. They say, by the way, one of the things that helps us to overcome our inner arrogance, because we all do have an inner pharaoh. We have to, part of self-building is to be able to recognize that I am flawed. Not being so defensive that I can't even work on myself. The inner pharaoh is there in all of us. The hadith is this. It says, "Asharru kamenun fi tabi'ati kulli ahad." Everybody has that wickedness hidden within them, that desire to play God. That's there. But of course, if we keep fighting, then we can overcome it. The other one that they... So, I was going back to that point of how to address that inner arrogance, that inner pharaoh. One of the things that we're advised to do is be one of those people who's the first to pass salams, no matter who we see. We want to, it takes a little bit of coming out of oneself, to always be the first person to pass salams, welcome children even, anybody who's there, being the one of the first people. Another one that's mentioned by the Imam, this is again by Imam Askari, he says, لا يشغلك رزق مضمون عن عمل مفروض. Don't allow rizq which has been guaranteed. We have rizq, provision, which is guaranteed. He says, don't allow that to distract me from عمل مفروض, an action which has been made obligatory. What they tell us is this. Sometimes a person, because we know in Islam I have to go after my rizq, I have to perform my responsibility. I have to perform at a high level. What happens is sometimes I get distracted from doing mustahabat, from working on myself, from tying the ties of relationship. Everything can become me doing my job. I'm negligent of my spiritual side. I'm negligent of that other side of myself. The Imam tells us, he warns us about this. For instance, some people, I want to take care of something so I won't pray it the first time, for instance, as an example. Sometimes I'll cut corners when it comes to my spiritual program in order for me to take care of what I think is a responsibility. What they tell us is doing our spiritual program, doing our responsibility, helps with our day-to-day actions. I would think by not praying in the first time, by cutting down on my Quran, by doing some of these other things, that I'm cutting corners and I'll be able to... Actually, the spiritual side, that connection to Allah, helps me do my day-to-day tasks. And then the other one, and you see this sometimes in some of our great ulama. One of the interesting things about the leader, may Allah protect him, is the idea that his prayer in the first time comes no matter what is happening. He'll literally be speaking, personalities, everybody around. As soon as the time for prayer comes, it's as if just literally get up and... The other one is about waswas. The other advice of the Imam is about waswas. The Imam says this, man ta'adda fi tuhure. The person who goes to extremes, who goes overboard when it comes to issues of tahara, There's also a quote from the Imam, for instance, wudu. Sometimes when somebody has waswas, and it can be in different areas, I have waswas, I'm going overboard. He says, kana kanaqidhih. The person who goes overboard when it comes to areas of tahara, for instance, going overboard, is like the person who broke the tahara. It doesn't even have any spiritual benefit for me. I'm obeying shaitan. Right? Once I'm going more than what Allah and the Ahlul Bayt have said, now the obedience isn't for Allah, it's for shaitan. Sometimes what happens is in my mind, I kind of see God in this way. If I don't get this exactly right, sometimes I would see this in Qum. People were reciting Salat, and then they would be, because they'd have waswas. And you would see them, sometimes they would take so long to offer the prayers. They keep repeat, trying to get it, waswas. I'm obeying shaitan. But sometimes in my mind, I'm thinking, the wajibat to me are so serious, I'm thinking if I don't get it exactly right, God will get me. Instead of focusing on the idea that God wants obedience, I don't have to be perfect. How did he say to take care of this? The last one from the Imam is this. It's learning to always see blessings. Remember I talked during the revolutionary patience about the idea of not waiting to experience joy. Not waiting to experience joy. Experiencing joy right now, no matter what my situation is. What does the Imam teach us about this very important concept? He teaches us that we should always see a silver lining, no matter what our situation is. Currently, in our situation, we should be able to see that blessing. This is what the Imam says. He says this, مَا مِن بَلِيَّ. There is no baliya. There is no affliction. إِلَّا وَلِلَّهِ فِيهِ نِعْمَةً. During the same baliya, the same critical situation, the same unfortunate, unfair situation, لِلَّهِ فِيهِ نِعْمَةً. There is a blessing in it, تُحِيطُ بِهَا, that surrounds it. So the Ahlul Bayt have wanted us to see that no matter what our current situation is, there's always a silver lining, there's always something that we can be gaining, and there's always a blessing I can currently be enjoying. Inshallah, Allah allows us as believers to, first of all, implement these teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, to embrace them, and to ask the Imam for help, but then to do the jihad that's necessary for us to experience Allah's best. We end with salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Jazakallah, Sheikh. Inshallah, just wanted to remind everyone that next week's event is not going to be on Friday, but it's going to be on Sunday to celebrate the birth of the Prophet. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajal farajam. Inshallah, that will end tonight's program. Salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Idha waqa'atil waqi'ah. ليس لوقعتها كاذبة خافضة رافعة إذا رجت الأرض رجا وبست الجبال بسا فكانت هباء منبثا وكنتم أزواجا ثلاثة